JM and the AM on a Tuesday. Both Dina Mellis and Dovi Mellis are with us live via telephone. They are the parents of Rafi, and Rafi and their family need some help, and we need to help them. There is a fundraising campaign through the Chesed Fund, which we'll describe once I have Rafi's parents explain exactly what's going on. Dina, good morning. Are you there? Oh, okay. Looks like we lost somebody. And as soon as they reconnect, we will certainly get them on for you here at the JM in the AM. Dina, are you there?
Yes, we're here, both of us.
Oh, you're both there. Great. Okay, on one phone line, we have both Dina and Dovi. They are the parents of Rafi. I say good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, let's start things off. I already told the audience that the Chesed Fund is where they need to go, and we'll give details about that. But the question, of course, is why are we happy? Are we helping Rafi, and your family? Dina, why don't you start things off? Tell us what things have been like health-wise for Rafi over the last couple of years.
So since he was a baby, he was getting frequently sick, very high fevers. They would sometimes last for weeks on end. I would take him to the pediatrician frequently. We were told it's he was in daycare. There's probably exposure to daycare. Don't worry about it. He'll get better. But maternal and paternal instincts knew that there was something a little more, because he would get sick, get better, and then get sick again within a few short weeks. So at one point he was getting fevers past 104, almost to 105. And we just, in our hearts, we knew this wasn't normal. And the children at his daycare were not getting as sick as he was. And at one point when he had one of these episodes, a colleague at the pediatrician's office recommended that we take him to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, also known as CHOP, to their immunology department. Over the years, they ran a battery of tests, thought he had one certain kind of immune deficiency that, and they were following him for that. But they at one point did offer us genetic tests, to see if there was some kind of explanation, because he was seeming to get a little better, and they had no reason for that. Once they did those genetic tests, they found out that he had this rare genetic disease. It's one in a million diagnosis. There's only 150 families in the world that have this diagnosis. It's called XLP1, which is X-linked lipoproliferative disease. Hope I pronounced it correctly, where if he were to be exposed to anything from the Epstein-Barr virus family or other different kinds of viruses, it would be fatal to him. He would go into organ failure and unfortunately not make it. Most children that have this disorder actually don't typically live past the age of 10 or 11 without proper treatment.
And that's because generally kids are exposed at some point to this type of virus? Like, is it common to hang out with people that have it?
That's the answer.
The Epstein-Barr family of viruses, we know them as monos or the kissing diseases. They're very common viruses that are in the world.
So not to be dramatic here, but the truth is, thank God, we're at this point. We're at the point where you know what it is and that he has survived, thank God, until now. Because as you just described, he could have been in a really compromising situation pretty easily.
It's Dovi. That's correct. And that's what all the physicians who have been involved now in his care, and it's not just at CHOP at this point, because of the complexities involved. It's Children's Hospital of Cincinnati. It's Boston. It's NIH. There are a lot of incredibly talented physicians at Columbia as well now, that have come on board to try to find the best treatment. It's also a rare situation because, yes, as you said, none of the physicians we've worked with yet have ever seen this diagnosed while the child is healthy. It is always diagnosed when they're essentially on death's door. The fact that it was picked up when he was five and completely healthy is sort of not really in the books yet.
I know I read this somewhere, so this is not my original thought, but is he in a COVID situation now, meaning that you are extra, extra careful about who he hangs out with and what type of public situations he's in, just because of the nature of how viruses travel and you're concerned about, you know, it affecting him?
Yes. Yeah, so the fortunate thing is that the doctors actually told us with COVID that it likely helped him during this situation because everyone was wearing masks and temperature checks. But
that must give you a much different perspective on COVID.
Yeah.
Definitely. It was a very different perspective when they shared it with that. And as things are sort of, you know, winding down on a COVID perspective, they have, you know, told us that until we get him to transplant, right, which can be anywhere between, let's say, 1 to 3 months based on a lot of different factors, he needs to live a very, they've told us he's still 5,
right,
you know, mental health comes into play. He still needs to live his life. You just need to take precautions and masks, but he should still be, you know, get out and do things, but take a lot of precautions.
I don't know how old his siblings are. Are they aware of what's going on? Are they involved in quote unquote protecting him?
Of who is that? I'm sorry.
His siblings. I don't know what age they are, but are they involved in protecting him from all this, like you are?
So his siblings. He has a baby brother that's 10 months old. Ironically, he's the match for him for this bone marrow transplant.
Wow.
So for him, it's, you know, it's just more educating his big brother not to, you know, when he's got a runny nose, don't go near him, don't give him as many hugs. His other brother is 3 years old. He understands certain things to a point, like he has to wear his mask. But again, with COVID, he's gotten very used to that. So what level he understands, he does know that his brother has to go to the hospital a lot and to doctor appointments. But that's kind of the level he understands.
Oh, don't worry. 20 years from now, his brother's going to be holding it up over him. I can tell you that much. But yeah. God bless. Thank God. God blessed you with a third child. Thank God. Imagine. Yeah. Unbelievable. You must thank, I mean, all of us thank God for each one of our children every day. But thank God. Look what he did for you with your third child. So the bottom line is, and I'm sorry for getting to the bottom line, but after all, I'm trying to encourage the audience to participate with your family in all of this. The bottom line is that you've started, or whoever it is, started a campaign with the Chesed Fund to try to raise the money necessary to get you guys through this process. It is, in fact, a bone marrow transplant, and you just said hopefully it'll happen in the next 1 to 3 months. I'm assuming, just based on the speed with which this is happening, that the doctors are very encouraged that once he has the bone marrow transplant, he's on the way to full recovery, please God. Am I right?
Yes. Based on, you know, a bone marrow transplant is risky, and it's generally what it's run by Oncology General. And what they've told us, the team there, is that it's essentially an 80% success rate, which that number goes up or down based on how healthy you are coming in and your age, and your donor plays a big role, how close the donors match to you. So somebody in his makeup today would be closer to a 95% rate is what they're giving up. So the fact that he's young, healthy, has a matched donor puts us in a very good position. However, you know, they have, it was at their encouragement to start looking into, you know, resources and things that would help us in the coming year, because of it's about 6 to 8 weeks in the hospital, of which my wife will take a leave of absence from work and go out for 4 to 6 months.
Right.
And there's a long road post transplant of essentially a very slow, almost like a baby again, of a regrowth to your immune system. It starts essentially from zero, and it takes about a year until you can sort of re-enter society normally.
Yeah, hopefully you guys will be able to breathe in about 18 months.
Hopefully. And in that time, you know, he's going to be out of school.
Right.
He's missing kindergarten, so, you know, it's going to be a lot on us to, you know, kind of help him find tutors or be his tutors. And even just things down the road, you know, they did to tell us and warn us that there could be complications when he's older of even just the idea of having children. And we would like that idea that there was some kind of fund for him that should he ever need to think of alternative ways to have children, there's many options out there that we could at least give him that gift of, you know, we're sorry you went through this, but here's a present for you.
Right.
I'm sorry. By the way, we really have to point out, because I'm sure there's a million people who are curious as they listen to this conversation, this is not a Jewish genetic disorder. Am I correct?
Not at all. And in fact, I had a lengthy conversation with our OB, the Orthodox person from our shul, about, like, this is not something that could have been, because we did the battery of genetic testing through Darius Sharm, as well as through, I think it was Columbia or NYU, whoever did it when we were in college. And he even went straight to his OB checklist of what they possibly check for. He said it was not on there.
Right.
He said, unfortunately, there are thousands of very rare genetic diseases that just show up in the human genome completely, sometimes randomly, sometimes it's genetic, passed down from generations back. Unfortunately, especially in our community, it's hard to, and doctors try to do a family history because we're all the grandchildren of survivors.
Right.
It's very hard to know family history going back more than one or two generations.
Well, frankly, the two of you must be thrilled that you have a diagnosis for him and that there's a way to treat it.
And I do credit the physicians who are all physician scientists at CHOP they just dig deeper. They're constantly, digging and digging. And that's when she said, 6 months ago, I want to push further. I want to do genetic testing, which most, as his numbers were starting to come, as his immunoglobulins, which is what they were checking, these titers were coming up, most physicians would have said, great, I'm going to discharge you from the program, and God forbid that would have happened, and,
right.
He would have caught one of these. And so they're always digging deeper, and there is incredibly collaborative with other hospitals and getting second, third, fourth opinions on best approaches. They were the ones that found the diagnosis, found it deep, deep in the DNA, and in creating a care plan now.
There's something attractive, and I have to be very careful how I say this, but there, because obviously, especially with the person who contacted us about you, we would have done this for anybody, no matter how dire the circumstances, no matter what the projections were, just based on past science. We, of course, as a people of faith, know that that we never give up, and we do everything in our power, and if it requires money, we go and we raise the money, etc. But there's something, thank God, that I think is an additional attraction here, that people realize, based on the science, that there is a tremendous chance for Rafi to have a normal life coming up. And I think an additional reason. Again, I'm trying to be careful here, but an additional reason why people want to help out, because they really do see the light at the end of the tunnel in this specific situation. So far, over 36,000 of the 50,000 has been raised. Over 300 people have donated. Dina, that must give you an amazing feeling, not just the amount of money, but so many hundreds of families have reached out in this way to help out.
It has been humbling, to say the least, and overwhelming to us. We, when the fund was set up, we kind of said, it'll be nice if there's a little something there for him, or to help along the way.
Right.
And then Sunday night, when we looked at it again, we were just blown out of the park. There are no words to tell people how thankful, how grateful we are, because it's not only going to help us now, like I said, it's not going to only help us for now, but, it's going to help him in the future.
And that's
something that we never knew how we would be able to help him down the road.
Right.
Well, I told you that this would end up costing us. We've already just donated now, and I'm encouraging other people to do the same thing. After all, who doesn't want to be on Rafi's road to recovery, to say the least? And whatever little we could do, both in this forum and through personal donations, we're more than excited to do for you guys. It's thechesedfund.com/MellisFamily. As simple as that, folks. And literally, today, you can help them get to their goal. They're certainly within reach. You can help them get to their goal today by going to that site and giving what you can. That's the bottom line. And I hope everyone out there does. TheChesedFund.com. That's how you find it online. TheChesedFund.com/Mellis. M-E-L-E. Am I pronouncing your family name correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Mellis Family. M-E-L-E-S. Family. That's how you donate and how you give and how you participate in getting Rafi onto the road to recovery. I don't know if there's anything you guys want to add. I mean, we're totally behind you. We want to see this as a success, not just financially. We want you to give us the report very soon that Rafi's undergone the procedure and things are going well, and that your family is moving forward with all this. Love your attitude. Love your positivity. I can only imagine the ups and downs you've been through. But there are a lot of people, as you know, behind you with tremendous hope and tremendous encouragement.
Right. The only thing we can say again is just thank you to everybody. We ask everyone that they still daven for him daily, because every day we're taking more and more tests up until we do the bone marrow transplant. His Hebrew name is Rafael Shraga Ben Dina Sara. And we just ask people to, take some time during their day and just keep davening for him.
Phenomenal. I thank you both. Keep us up to date, please.
Thank you very much.
Help Rafi, everybody. Help Rafi. How do you help Rafi? Very simple. The Chesed Fund. Yes, I know we're doing our own fundraiser here. I know it. I always say it. But this is what proves how valuable we are. We're actually willing to fundraise for others while our fundraiser is going on. I think I have to say that a million times every time it happens because I just don't believe it myself. Go to thechesedfund.com. Thechesedfund.com. Be as generous as you can to help Rafi and his parents, Dina and Dovi, as you heard. They've got tremendous hope, a really solid opportunity here to get Rafi on his feet and on the road to recovery. God bless the doctors and all those who are agents of the one above who have gotten Rafi to this point. All you got to do is go to thechesedfund.com, thechesedfund.com/MelesFamily, thechesedfund.com/MelesFamily, MelesFamily, simple as that.